Welcome back to episode 7 of Ball Talk with Bun. Today I'm going to dive into my thoughts and my reactions from the Sweet 16 and league games and what I think of Purdue and UConn and the Final Four teams going forward. I'm going to talk about Caitlin Clark, Paige Buckers, Aaliyah Edwards, and the women's Final Four. I'm going to dive into some Luka Doncic and Mavericks talk. But first, I want to start with the big news at the NFL this past 24 hours, actually yesterday. Stephon Diggs getting traded to the Houston Texans for a second-round pick. That was a huge trade, especially given the talent that Houston already has on their team. Tank Dell, before he got injured, he was having a phenomenal season with C.J. Stroud at the helm. Nico Collins had a career year with C.J. Stroud at the helm. Devin Singletary made plays with C.J. Stroud at the helm. Dalton Schultz, he made plays with C.J. Stroud. I'm telling y'all, Stephon Diggs, with this team that already has continuity, that already has playoff experience, they already have a clear elite quarterback who's proven himself already. It's 1 year, I understand that, but CJ's elite. This is going to be a fun team, and this is going to be a contending team. This is a top three team in the AFC, and I really don't like overreacting to offseason moves and really putting teams on certain tiers or pedestals, but given how good they were and how ahead of schedule they were last year in terms of their rebuild, first-year head coach, first-year quarterback, and you lose in the divisional round to the Baltimore Ravens, to Lamar Jackson, to that defense, that's a great first year for both of those guys. Now they add Danielle Hunter. They add Joe Mixon. Now they have Stephon Diggs. That's just like the rich getting richer. They're adding on to what they already had. They added another defensive lineman, Artery, too, which won't get talked about that much. Understandably so, but that's another huge pickup. The Texans are going to be really, really good next year. As for the Bills, I'm really concerned for Josh Allen. I'm really concerned for Doug McDermott, whatever his name is. I'm really concerned for McDermott. It's going to be a rough year. It's going to be a rough 2024 for the Bills, I think, especially on the offense side of the ball. But for strictly Josh Allen, I'm concerned. Gabe Davis is gone. Obviously now Stephon Diggs is gone. I mean, as right now, Khalil Shakir is his number one option. They don't have the best offensive line. Josh Allen is a turnover machine. It's just concerning. They have the most picks in the draft this year, which is definitely a plus. That's a positive. But given what they have right now on both sides of the ball, the lack of talent they have, and with the amount of money they are still paying these players, it's a lot of money that they're spending. However, the move to get rid of Diggs just shows that they're not ready to win. And their Super Bowl window is closed. It obviously has closed. they had to get rid of him. It just wasn't working out. Obviously, they couldn't be Kansas City. They weren't going to be Kansas City. Even with Stephon Diggs, they weren't going to be Kansas City. So, I mean, you aren't winning a Super Bowl. You're paying all these guys a lot of money. Stephon Diggs to end 2023 was not Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs was not himself the last month and a half of the NFL season. So, as for the Bills, I mean, it's smart to start over. But as for Josh Allen, I feel sorry for him. I feel sorry for Josh Allen. I really do. And I hope they address this in the draft. I hope they find a receiver in the draft. You know, a lot we say that for a lot of teams, a lot of quarterbacks. So, yeah, he needs to get a receiver. But, I mean, Josh Allen does need to get a receiver. They need to get him a wide receiver in the draft. If they really love him, if they care about him, if they want to get the best out of him, after this move, they need to get a receiver in the draft who they do not have to pay like they have to pay Stephon Diggs. Now, would that automatically cause this glaring issue to go away? Who knows? But what would a serious franchise do? I'm over here talking about the Bills and all that, but the Texans, look out. Look out. Kansas City, very well. They just might three-peat. But the Texans, they're going to... I would love to see the Texans and the Chiefs in a playoff game. I think that would be great. That could be a great game. And I'm excited to watch CJ Stroud with just new look offense, with Tank Dell coming back and Stephon Diggs and Nico Collins there, and Joe Mixon taking the ball now. Come on now. Joe Mixon's taking carries instead of Devin Singletary. Devin Singletary, really? Joe Mixon's, it's just a huge upgrade. They're going to be scary. And Danielle Hunter and Roy Anderson on the other side, they're going to be just as scary. I'm excited for Houston. The men's Final Four, I'm very excited for that. North Carolina State against Purdue, and then obviously Alabama against UConn. I really don't know how to feel about both of those games because, I mean, I just don't know. I really don't know what's going to happen. Purdue, obviously on paper, they're the superior team, but so has the last five of NC State's opponents. So, and that might not even matter. So, I don't know how to feel about that game. Edie is a matchup problem. But the way NC State has played, NC State is capable of beating this team. DJ Horn, DJ Burns, America's favorite duo, they could go into this game and shock the world and beat Purdue. Purdue has, you know, they've really shut up a lot of people this year. We've all asked, can it translate? Can the way they play in the Big Ten, can it translate to a tournament? And it has. They beat Tennessee. They beat Gonzaga. You know, they're here in the Final Four now. They're first since 1980, which is very hard. When I heard that was hard to believe. But the first Final Four since 1980, they're here. And with UConn on the other side of the bracket, and they play Alabama. But with UConn on the other side of the bracket, this was like a collision course to me. I feel like all along, I and obviously a bunch of other people around the world have debated about who won the championship or who is UConn's biggest threat. And I feel like not a lot of people were saying Purdue because of what happened last year and years past. But now they're here now. And given that they've only lost 3 or 4 games this year, and same thing for UConn, they've only lost 3 games this year. It was a collision course all along, and I feel like we never saw it. I feel like we never wanted to admit it. But this is the glory of college basketball right here. I'm excited for this weekend. Alabama and UConn is going to be a great game too. Grant Nelson, I think, he's an X factor. If he has a huge game like he did against North Carolina, I think Alabama has a solid chance. Alabama, they're going to have to score. UConn, they can score the ball, they can rebound, they can guard, they can defend. I mean, I don't have to talk about them that much. So, I mean, I guess Alabama's just going to have to run the scoreboard up. Is that the only way to beat them? Because they've won all types of games. They've won slugfest. They won high-scoring games. They won, you know, I guess, quote-unquote regular games. They've won all types of games. They won 35 games this year. And in the tournament so far, they have destroyed everyone they have played. So, going into this, if you're Nate Oates, if you're Mark Sears, or Grant Nelson, I mean, we have to score the ball. You have to score the ball. I feel like Alabama's best bet is to try and go out in there and really go all in and score the ball, value every possession, get a lot of threes up, get into the fast break, play with pace. That's their best bet. And the same thing, I feel like the same thing for NC State too, in a way. You have to try to exploit Edie on defense, on the offensive end. You have to try to exploit him. You have no other choice. DJ Horn, DJ Burns, you have they have to find a two-man game, a consistent two-man game with Edie involved to try to exploit him and make him work on defense so that he does not have a dominant offensive game, which is way easier said than done. Way easier said than done, because Edie is a 7-4 matchup problem with touch, with great footwork, can catch the ball, with strength. Obviously, he has great size, 7-4, however much he weighs, he's a problem. He's a matchup nightmare. And for people who think he can't play in the NBA or won't be able to play in the NBA, you got to stop. Zach Edey's an NBA player, and I think he could have a very successful career as a backup. But both games will be very exciting. The women's Final Four, though, I think is going to be probably more exciting. South Carolina, NC State, shout out to NC State and UConn. They have a women's and men's team in the Final Four, which is crazy. But NC State, UConn, NC State and South Carolina, UConn and Iowa. I watched the Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese game, which was a great game. Caitlin Clark is special. Angel Reese is special. Paige Buckers is special too. Juju Watkins is special. Aaliyah Edwards is special. I don't really know. If I'm being honest, I don't know anyone in South Carolina. But, I mean, it seems like South Carolina is just going to win the championship. I could be wrong, though. Iowa beat them last year, but it's the new year. So, you never know. But Paige Buckers and Caitlin Clark, I'm excited to watch that. Friday night. Friday night around 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, probably. But that's going to be a great game. Paige Buckers is a bucket. She doesn't really get talked about that much, obviously so because of Caitlin, but Paige is a bucket. And the mid-range shot she hit when number 25 on USC was Gardner, and she got fouled. They didn't call it. But she had a tough mid-range shot. And then the next possession, she had a tough three with a hand in the face. Yeah, that was a great game. Oh, and Juju Watkins, too. Juju Watkins, she's a problem. She's a problem. You could tell she's been outside on the street until the street light came on, hooping with people, because she has the whole package. She has a Euro. I saw her do a Euro on a fast break. I said, okay. Yeah, the Euro, she went left, right. Yeah, she's a problem. Juju's a problem. I think the thing about the UConn's women's team, though, Paige is what gets talked about a lot, but Aaliyah Edwards, I think she's the X factor. And I feel like UConn might beat Iowa because Aaliyah Edwards, I think her size and her dominance in the paint, I think that's going to be the difference in the game. And I think UConn might shock the world and beat Iowa this coming Friday because of Aaliyah Edwards. I could be wrong, though, because Caitlin Clark might get 50 or 60. And then South Carolina, NC State, I don't know any of the players, but I assume South Carolina's going to win. But what a great year for college basketball this year, because the prominence of the women's field and then, of course, the men's field. We have a great story in UConn and Purdue, too. It's just a great year of college basketball compared to last year and other years and years past. And I'm excited. And I'm grateful because college basketball has really reached – it's a new era, but it's coming back – to what it used to be. The excitement, the joy of it, I feel like it's coming back a little bit. The NBA MVP award is probably the most, I don't know. I don't even know what to say about it. I don't know what the criteria is. I don't know what people think when they hear the word MVP or the phrase MVP, but MVP stands for most valuable player. And I want to ask, who is more valuable than Luka Doncic? Who is more valuable than Luka Doncic? You can sit there and say Nikola Jokic, and I will not argue with you. Nikola Jokic is the best player in the world. I will not argue with you about that. But Luka Doncic is first in scoring, or second in scoring. Technically second because of Embiid's injury. He's second in scoring, averaging 34 a night. And he's second in assist, averaging 9 assists a night. Have you ever, like, has anyone ever heard someone say that before? That this player, this X player, blank, whatever, is first or second in scoring and second in assists. He's first in scoring and second in assists. And he's not getting any MVP recognition. Now, last year, Luka averaged 33 points. And whatever, probably, I don't even remember his eight rebounds on assists. I knew it was something like that. But obviously, he wasn't going to get an MVP conversation. No one's going to talk about that. He had a great, he had an all-time great year last year. And no one talked about it because they weren't winning. This year, the Mavs are fifth. As right now, they're fifth in the West. They're fifth in the West. All the teams are separated by, what, 3-4.5 games at max? Why isn't he the MVP? Why isn't he not at least top two in MVP discussion? Or the MVP favorite? Again, you've never heard someone say, this guy's leading in scoring and he is second in assist. You've never heard anyone say that. That's never, like, that. I don't think, I can't remember anyone ever saying LeBron is first in scoring this year and he's second in assist this year. I've never heard someone say James Harden's leading the league in scoring and leading the league in assists. I've never heard someone say Kobe's leading the league in scoring and leading the league in assists. I never heard that about Russell Westbrook. So, like, it's baffling that he doesn't get any MVP talks. And I understand the year that Jokic is having. Jokic is great. I understand Shea is great. And Shea, I actually wouldn't be mad if Shea won MVP, because Shea is taking a young team toe-to-toe with teams that are technically on paper better than Oklahoma City is, and they're still a top three seed in the West. And if they finish the first seed, he should win MVP. I will concede that. However, it is insane that Luka does not get any type of recognition for MVP with the year that he's having. Again, you've never heard someone say blank player is averaging the first most points or second most points in the league, and he's averaging the second most assists in the league. Oh, and the brother shoots 50% from the field. He averages probably 9 threes a game and shoots 50% from the field with 34 points a night. And he's second in assist. This is literally, in, like, come on. This is all-time stuff we're witnessing right now. No one's saying a word about it. No one's saying a word about it. What are we doing? What is the criteria? They're fifth in the West. They're 45-30 in a tight, extremely tight Western Conference. He's first in the league in scoring. He's second in the league in assists. He's shooting 50% from the field. He leads his team in steals, in points, in rebounds, in assists. What is the criteria? What more does the man have to do? What more does he have to do? I'll repeat it one more time. He's first in scoring and second in assists. That's never been said. We've never said that. I don't think I've ever heard someone say that about a player. That's insane. That's literally insane. I'm excited for the Mavericks going forward. I feel like things are coming together for them. I think Jason Kidd has found a better rotation. 2 to 3 weeks ago, they really looked bad. They really looked bad. That's the glory of the NBA. Some teams look bad for a while, and then the same teams, they look great the next week. And the Mavericks, they've won, what, part 10 of their last 12 or something like that. They've looked great. I'd be scared of them. They could do everything now. They could defend, they could rebound, they could block shots. They play much faster. Luka and Kyrie are way more efficient. Luka and Kyrie have way more consistency now together, way more continuity, way more chemistry now. And both of them are playoff assassins, as we've seen in the past. And as we saw 2 years ago when Luka made the playoffs. I'd be scared of them, no matter who, what team I would be, unless I'm not Nikola Jokic, but I'd be scared of them. Jason Kidd is figuring more things out about this team, and they're playing much better. And with them at the 5 seed, with the Clippers right there at the 4, just imagine that first round series right there. And imagine the aftermath of it. What could happen? What if the Mavericks beat the Clippers first round? Boy, oh boy. That is all I have for today on Ball Talk with Bun, episode 7. I appreciate y'all for tuning in. I'll talk to y'all next week.